John had a part in that too. That's great. Last week we were in John 1, and we're going to be there again if you'd like to turn there. John, the first chapter. Last week we were talking about Jesus and how he's the Word, he's the Creator, and he's a light. John goes on in verses 19 through 34 to talk about another John, John the Baptizer, and his witness. And that's what we want to look at this morning. So let's go ahead and read John 1, 19 through 34. 19 through 34. This is the witness of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said then to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Well, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him.' And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." One of the things that can easily be misunderstood, we know this is the Gospel of John, and here he's talking about John, and he's talking about himself, but he's not. John the Apostle, the writer of the Gospel, was the Apostle, but John was a very common name in that day, and he's talking about John the Baptizer. As we look at this passage, what I want us to see is that John knows who he is. John knows who he is. He also knows who he isn't. John knows his purpose, and John has a testimony to give. All right? Well, this is the witness that begins of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Now, this is a good question, because if we read the other accounts of John the Baptizer, what we find out is that, one of the things, the circumstances around John's birth were surrounded by an appearance of an angel. Zacharias, his dad, is not able to speak because the angel revealed to him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a baby, and they had a hard Zacharias had a hard time digesting that because they were old. And because of that, the angel says, because you have doubted my word, then you're not going to be able to speak until it's been fulfilled. And so we read the story, how he comes out. He's a priest, and he's attending the temple at the time that this happens. He comes out dumb, not able to speak, and the people are amazed. They realize he'd seen an angel. As the people are curious, okay, what's going to come of this as they hear this story and as they see it unfold? The people are very curious. Zacharias is a well-known person, being a priest. And so here's this baby born, John the Baptizer, who is very much expected, anticipated that he would come. Matthew 3:5. I've got to do this the old-fashioned way. My mini iPad will not connect. Matthew 3:5. We have a couple passages here that... So after John is born, and because of the unusualness of the surrounding birth, the reaction is that as he's in the wilderness and as he's preaching and immersing, well, we also know from the story that John spends a lot of time in the desert, in the wilderness, and he eats locusts and wild honey. He wears an outfit of, camel's hair and a belt. And very unusual. So in verse 5 of chapter 3, Matthew, then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sin. And another passage in Luke, the first chapter, 65 and 66. And fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then would this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord is certainly with him. And again, that reverts back to his birth. So John is known in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the hill country. He had quite a following. He was immersing a lot of people and preaching to a lot of people. And even the religious leaders were coming to him. He had a special message for them about demonstrating fruit of repentance before he would baptize them. So it's a good question. Who are you? He could very easily have been thought to be the Messiah with the following and the attention that he's getting. Certainly a man of God who's doing a great work. So the question, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. So in their questioning, he sets it clear. I'm not the Christ. Well then, are you Elijah? And he says, no, I'm not. Now that's interesting because Jesus, in Matthew, also the angel that appears to Zacharias tells Zacharias that the one who is going to be born would be in the spirit of Elijah. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, and if you'd only accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah. He refers to this coming of Elijah as being John the Baptist. But here John denies it. That's interesting. But I think the explanation of that is that their question, what they were expecting, since Elijah left the earth on a fiery chariot and went directly to heaven, never died. When God revealed in Malachi 4 that Elijah would appear and pave the way, would make the way straight for the Messiah, they were expecting Elijah to come back from the dead, and that person literally be Elijah. And so that's what they have in mind when they're saying, are you Elijah? Are you literally Elijah? And John says, no, I'm not. And that's why Jesus could say, though, he was the one that was prophesied to come back as the forerunner, as the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. A little different concept. And so he had to say no to them because he knew what they were asking, and he knew that he wasn't the resurrected Elijah. But he had come in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord. And then they said, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. And where that comes from is in Deuteronomy, I think the 18th chapter. In there, God made a promise to Moses that he would raise up another prophet one day like Moses. And so these were what the religious leaders were expecting, those who had understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. They were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting Elijah to return. And they were expecting the prophet to come. Now, as it turns out, the Messiah and the prophet are one and the same because they're Christ. And then John the Baptist, as Jesus explains, was the one, the forerunner to come in the spirit of Elijah. And Jesus quotes the Malachi 4 passage, relates it to John. So he answers no, though, to these questions. They said then to him, who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And so then John takes the passage out of Isaiah, the prophecy, Isaiah 40. We could turn to that. I want to read a couple verses ahead of what John says as well. John says, I am a voice crying of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Isaiah 40, the first, you know, you could read several verses in the first part of that, but it starts out, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God, speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord is spoken. And so that's who John says he is. The one crying in the wilderness, make the way for the Lord. He's about to appear. Then they ask, well, they've been sent by the Pharisees. Verse 24, we find out. Verse 25, and they ask him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I love it then when different ones are asked a question in the scripture and they don't answer it. Because John doesn't answer that question. It seems like a simple question. So why are you baptizing water? But among you, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John's answer is, I baptize in water. Well, they didn't ask him about that. They're asking him why. But among you stands one among one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And then we have this pause. He never answers their question yet. Why are you baptizing? Well, I baptize in water, but there's one here in our midst that you don't recognize, and he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's going to bring God. He's bringing God in this world. John says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. And then it's the next day. It says, we have this pause. It says that these things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. And it was the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now that's interesting too, because normally what it would say would be, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the Jews, the sin of Israel. John says, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And then he says, and I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And there he answers a question a day later. Why does he come baptizing? In order that he, that is Jesus, be manifest or made known or visible to Israel. John's sole purpose is to reveal the Messiah, to be able to do what he's doing right here, is saying, there's the Lamb of God. He's the one. I'm not even worthy to compare to him. He's the one. That, John says, was his purpose. He says, in order that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. His primary mission was not necessarily baptizing people, so to speak, although that was a ministry he was involved in. His purpose, and he knew it, was to indicate who the Messiah was. And God gave him special revelation to know that. John bore witness, saying in verse 32, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. And then we learned that this was something that God told him. The one on whom the Spirit comes down and rests upon him, he is the Messiah. And he's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John knows his purpose. That was to manifest the Messiah to Israel. And John has a testimony as well. John knows who he is, who he is not. He knows what his purpose is. Verse 31, why he came. And John has a testimony. And he testifies to what he's seen. I think John's a good example for us. Do we know who we are? I mean, as individuals and also as a church body, who are we? Who are we? What is our purpose? Do we know our individual purposes? You know, these things don't come easy. And John has a testimony. Do we have a testimony? As we describe to ourselves or to others who we are, What do we say? Am I primarily a carpenter who works in, where do I work? Cashers, North Carolina? If that's who I think I am, then my purpose is going to flow from that. That's who I am, then that's what I should be doing. That's what I should boast about. That's what I will talk about. But is that really who I am? We need to spend some time knowing who we are. I think when we understand a little bit about who we are, it becomes clearer on what our purpose is. And we'll be about that purpose. If we don't know who we are, then we've heard the phrase, yeah, this guy went off the deep end, he's trying to discover himself. And people usually in that mode are very confused and not very focused and aren't really accomplishing much. They're just kind of wandering and they don't know. We didn't know who we are. And from that, I think we'll know a little more about what our purpose is. And when we do that, I think we'll have a great testimony that we can share with people about how the Lord has worked in our life, how he's answered prayer. We'll have a testimony. You know, we're not John the Baptist, right? That's easy. We know who we're not. Not John the Baptist. Jesus said of John the Baptist in Matthew 11:10, after John's death by beheading, he said, "There's no one greater born of woman than John the Baptist." And whoa! I mean, Elijah, now he was a pretty good prophet. How about some of the others? Elisha, who performed miracles. And wait a minute. Wait, what about Moses? What about David? What about Solomon? What about these guys? Jesus says, of all born of woman, John the Baptist is the greatest. Now, why is that? I think the reason is because none of those other guys had the opportunity to stand there and say, the Messiah is here. Just that testimony, that message, elevated John above anyone else. Because the message he had, John was greater than all. And then Jesus says, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. That's us. That's us. And again, the reason, I think, is because of the message we have to share. In our day, the Holy Spirit's been given. The Word of God has been written. The living Christ is among us. The message we have to share should go out with power. Should go out in ways that have never been available in the past. The key, I think, we need to know who we are. We need to know what our purpose is and be about that purpose, because we've got a testimony to share. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your word that we can discern from it what your thoughts are. thank you for the challenge that was given by John the Baptist in his life. I pray that we might be effectual workers in your kingdom as well. Please help us to make the steps necessary to know who we are in you, to know our purpose, and to give that testimony that you've given. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.